I love that song, and I know a lot of you guys do too. I'll stand my heart, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am in you is yours. And we talk about it a lot. It is so easy to sing that, to raise our hands high when we're in church, we're doing that thing on Sunday morning. It's so easy to say those things as words on a screen. But do you live that out? Is that really true? I hope that you've surrendered your life to Christ, period, and just said, Lord, be the Savior of my life. But do we do that daily? You don't have to redo that daily, but do you lay your life down before him and say, Lord, all I am is yours? Because a lot of us, we just tend to go, hey, Lord, I'll give you this thing, but I'm not going to give you that. Hey, Lord, I'll give you most of who I am, but this little thing, I don't know, maybe I'll just do that while I'm in junior high, or maybe I'll do that until I graduate. And there are sins that maybe we hold on to. So when I say the word sin, think about sin. What comes to mind? And just think about it. For some of you guys, it may be something that you're really wrestling with. For some of you, it might be something that you know someone else is really wrestling with. I know when I hear the word sin, I tend to think of those big things, those big categories, and maybe you're the same way. I think of murder and lying and cheating, lust, all of these big things that we know, that's sin, for sure, that's sin. But sometimes we deceive ourselves and we think that some of those little things that we justify, some of those little things that maybe God's not in control of our life, that's not sin. I mean, I know it's maybe not the best thing to do, it's wrong, but everybody else is doing it. What if there was a sin that probably all of us in this room have committed in multiple ways that has the ability to affect your life for the better or for the worse? If you knew what that was, would you want to change it? Would you want to surrender that to the Lord and let him have total control of that? I know I would. And what we're going to talk about today and for the next 3 weeks is a sin that we get caught up in, but we so easily just push away. It's a sin that I think hurts each of us, and then I think it's a sin that hurts so many other people. And I'm talking about the sins of the tongue. The words we say. The things that we tell other people. The things that we say about other people. They have the ability to greatly hurt and damage us as well as so many other people. So we're going to dive into that for the next few weeks and how this changes everything. This thing that we can allow our Savior to control, as we stood up here and said, Lord, all of me is yours, except my tongue, except the things I say, because it's funny. I want to say it anyways. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to look at James, the book of James in chapter 3. If you guys went on Dallas Experience, you guys can turn there, James chapter 3. If you went on Dallas Experience, we dug into some of those first two chapters of James. James is rich. Because it's a call to action. James is not just kind of this theology and philosophy. He says, hey, do what you believe in. If you say that Jesus is going to change your world, get out there and act on that. Now, that's not what saves us. Our works and our actions aren't what give us salvation, but it is proof of our salvation when we go out and we do the very thing that we say has changed our lives. So he talks about that, how to put our faith into action and how faith without deeds is worthless. He goes on and on and on until he gets to chapter 3. And he talks about what it's like to tame the tongue. And here's what he says. 3 verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. All those sins that we talked about. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So this is how he starts this chapter. He says, hey, this tiny thing has the ability to change everything. Has the ability to control everything. Hey, we all sin. But anyone who basically is saying, anyone who doesn't use his words to hurt himself or others and who is perfect in his speech and has that controlled by his Savior, he's perfect. And there is no one except for Jesus. But we can continue to lay that down as well as the rest of our lives and our bodies. But James then is going to go on and to say, hey, that tongue, that controls everything. So he gives us two analogies. He says, look, think of a horse. Who's ever been horseback riding? Yeah. And if you haven't, you know that you'd see on movies or on TV shows, they've got this thing that they put in their mouth. A horse by itself, it's crazy. You think of a wild stallion, there's no way that you or me, if we just went out there, could like hold on to a stallion. Could you imagine like running around, there's this huge horse that's like 400, 500 pounds, and you're like, hey, come here, man. Hey, come on. You'd be crazy. But if somehow you get a bit, they call it a bit, and you put the reins in his mouth, and it sits right there, you have control over the whole thing. That's what James is saying. You put the bit in the mouths of horses and you can turn the whole animal. Right, because of his mouth, because of his tongue. In the same way, he then says, hey, just even though it's small doesn't mean it doesn't have power. Look at a ship. I had some friends who just went on a cruise. And there are thousands of people on this cruise ship. It's huge. And it used to be that the ships didn't have motors, they had sails, and the winds, it talks about how they're driven by strong winds, and the winds should tell it where to go. But just a little piece of wood, that little tiny thing, that can guide you. That can either keep you on the way that you need to go, or it can just tear you to pieces and sink the whole ship. This is the power of the tongue. Now remember, this is James we're talking about. He says to take action earlier on in his book. You go to James 1, you don't have to turn there, but we'll show it to you here. James 1, I think it's verse 26, potentially. Yeah, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. Their religion is worthless. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're going, hey, I'm good, I got it. There's no big sins in my life. Maybe it's not the big sins. Maybe it's those little ones. Maybe it's those things, that thing, your tongue, that creeps up on you. We're all guilty of. You may think that you're coming to church and you're going to small group and you're doing the right thing. But if your tongue, your speech, the words that you say are not under the control of Christ and submitted before him, your religious, the things that you, your religion, the things that you do, those actions, all that's worthless. You got to live it. You got to live it out. So he gives us those analogies. A horse controlled by the mouth, a ship, this giant vehicle controlled by a small rudder. Our tongue controls our whole body. And it can lead to a ton of destruction. So, destruction, something that comes to my mind is fire. Is there anybody in here that loves fire? I know if you're a guy, your hand's probably up. If not, it's okay. You're still a guy and it's still great. But I loved fire when I was growing up. I loved it. And I, weirdly enough, loved destruction. So I found out, I don't know if I was in science class or watching a TV show, I heard that if you, if there was a fire and then you had like dirt around it, the fire would stop. It couldn't spread because there's no more food for the flame. So I was like, oh, sweet. I've got a field behind my house. I'll just dig some dirt in it. So I went out back behind my house. I had this huge field. I wish I had a picture of it. But I mean, probably three times the size of this room. We'll call it that. Okay? Huge field right behind my house. And it was kind of fall and it was kind of dry. And I was like, man, I'm going to go burn some stuff. So I went out there and I got right there in the corner, right where the field started. And I got down and I like got a stick and I just kind of, I don't know, I was in junior high. And so I'm like carving this little rectangle, like 2 feet by 4 feet, just a little border around it. I said, man, I got some dirt. I got that border in there. It's going to be contained. Here we go. So I had my little household lighter that I kind of snuck out of the house because I knew already that this was not a good idea. But I thought, you know what? It's going to happen. TV said it's good. So I get down there. I had my brothers and a couple buddies with me, and they're like, yeah, yeah, go for it, but we're not going to pull the trigger. You do it. So I get down there, and I light it, and it catches, and I go a couple other places in the box, and I was like, yeah, we're on fire. We're high-fiving. It's like, woo! And then I realized my little border that I created was absolutely worthless. So I see that it kind of catches over this way and then a little bit that way. And I was like, oh goodness, there we go. So I'm kind of like trying to stop it here. And then it goes, whoosh. I was like, ah. And so it goes, I mean, not only is it just outside the border, it starts trailing this way and it's going, whoosh. And it starts to pick up. And I'm looking at my brothers and my buddies and I'm like, guys, what do we do? And they're like, oh my goodness. And so this pretty soon I'm looking at this whole field and there's nothing there but dead grass. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to burn the whole field to the ground. I'm going to burn the whole neighbor to the ground. I am in big trouble here. So I start screaming at him, and we come together and we go to the aid and we start trying to put that out. This morning, we're going to talk about gossip. And right after this verse that we looked at, James even says, hey, that tongue that you have, the power you have, man, that's like a flame. One small spark can set a forest aflame. We think that we can contain this thing. We think that we can keep it there, but it has a lot of power. And it can go wild. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Gossip. We're going to define it as talking carelessly about someone or someone else's business without them knowing. You all know what that is. Hey, what'd you think of Christy's outfit today? Hey, have you heard about Malcolm and Mindy? Oh my goodness. Who knows? Something crazy. Oh my goodness, those girls are skanky. You laugh, but you've probably said it or heard it. Hey, why does he always do that? Why does he always wear that? Man, he is so annoying. She's kind of an airhead. Oh my gosh, I would never go out with him. Gossip. We all do it, and we do it all the time. And it is destructive. Here's what James says about it. Chapter 3, verse 5. Likewise, just coming off of those analogies, likewise, the tongue, it's a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. I'm going to stop there. That second half of verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. This, he's saying, is a small spark. Think of a wildfire. I looked up what a wildfire means. See, this is relevant to the people who are reading this at the time because they're in an agricultural environment. And remember, we got to look at what's happening in context. These people all the time go, they're in kind of a desert area. And so they see this brush and these wildfires just kind of go through the land all the time. So he's using this analogy to say, hey, that can be gone in an instant, that destruction that can happen by just one little thing, that's like our words, like our mouths, like our tongues. So a wildfire. A wildfire is an uncontrolled fire in an area of combustible vegetation. What does that mean? Vegetation, dry things that can just catch fire at any moment. Here's a picture of a wildfire. This is in Montana. Now, it's kind of cool, actually, because I'm not in it. It's like, whoa, that's oddly beautiful. But step back for a second and go, oh my goodness, that whole forest is on fire. It's destroying homes of animals, maybe homes of people, maybe even taking lives. Here's another picture. This is in Florida. And this is just what happens. It spreads, it spreads, it spreads, it spreads. One small spark is what starts. It could be lightning. You know, it could be, they say, volcanic eruption and overflow can happen, but a lot of times it's started by humans leaving campfires out, throwing a cigarette here or there. Something catches, someone's careless. They didn't really mean it at first, but then it just sets a whole state aflame. This happens a lot. It happened in Texas a couple years ago. I remember being in Waco and I could see the haze from Lubbock. I mean, from like a 5.5 hour drive away, and there was still smoke just coming in. It's destructive. Here's a video by the Texas Parks and Wildlife. This is a minute long. These trees are getting engulfed. That. A minute ago, we were on the left side of the screen. I mean, there's no telling how far that is. I mean, maybe a 30-foot football field. Who knows? But statistics say that a wildfire can spread as fast as 14 miles an hour. whoosh, just taken out all kinds, not only vegetation, but homes. It's destructive. And it all starts with one spark. A wildfire is something that takes catch of that combustible vegetation. If we've got undisciplined tongues, we're spreading uncontrolled fire in a broken and sin-ridden world full of combustible people. This place is broken. This place is ready to go up in flames. And it can be in destruction because of the words you say, or it could be in grace and life and freedom, set on fire for who Jesus is and what he's done for us. You have that power. Going back to James, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. James singles it out and says, yes, your whole body's a problem, but your tongue specifically, it's a whole world of evil. The things you say, the things you talk about, the things that you let out of there, if it is not controlled by Christ, it's destructive. Just like a fire. That's what he says earlier. Just like a fire, it could go off and cause so much destruction and chaos. Once it sparks, it sets a flame that cannot be stopped. No one can stop the results of damaging things that are said. And it breaks so many things. It's destructive. And this is scary. It says it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It's destructive to you. The things that you say can set your whole life on fire. Just destroy you like that. And we don't even know it. And for us, we say like that. But I mean, guys, it can happen in a period of months. It can happen in a period of years. And right now, this morning, we're talking about just gossip. The things that we say. And then towards the end, it says, and the tongue is itself set on fire by hell. Whew. If it's not controlled by Christ, Satan can use that to have all kinds of destruction through your life. It's got to be controlled. Gossip. We've got to have that controlled. Why do we gossip? Why do we let our tongues run rampant? Why do we cause so much damage and destruction and not realize it? We want control. We want to be in the know. It's easier than dealing with conflict. We want to feel better about ourselves, so we talk about other people. Sometimes we want to be destructive on purpose. We just want to see what's going to happen. We want to see if people are going to believe us, even if it's not true. It's exciting. It's full of those juicy details. It gets our adrenaline going. It's almost like watching a movie just to see what's going to happen. Whether you start it or you're a part of it, you're just like, oh man, I can't believe that. We get excited about gossip. We want the attention. Maybe you spread it. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's a lie. A lot of times it's not even true. And you just want that attention. Or sometimes we want to put the attention onto other people, not us. So we send out a rumor, or we send out gossip that we're not supposed to know. We put it on them. But here's the problem with gossip. It hurts others. It's destructive. It leads to people not trusting us. It burns relationships. It can come back to burn us. And it's sin. That's the problem with gossip. It's sin. In the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about it. He says, hey, if you've got a grievance against your brother, stop everything you're doing. Leave that gift at the altar. Go and reconcile with him. The world tells us, hey, talk behind their back. Get involved in someone else's business. Even if they're, you know, you don't want them to know. What if they found out? Then you're going to get in big trouble. Just say it behind their back and no one will ever know. Scripture says, hey, stop everything you're doing. Go to that person. Don't gossip. Go submit yourself to them and say, hey, look, I'm sorry, or hey, this is how I feel. Hey, can we deal with this conflict? That's what Scripture calls us to. Our tongue has the power to destroy, just like a wildfire. It can burn our own lives. It can burn the lives of so many people around us. It has the power to destroy. Ladies, you guys are often associated with gossip. That's an easy one. You love to talk about, ooh, I can't believe she wore that, or ooh, can't believe this. You love to be in the know. Be a lady that's known for controlling her tongue. Gentlemen, You may not think that you gossip, but you do it too. What we do is we use our tongue to tear each other down. Oh, I'm a man. I can't give compliments. I can't give encouragement. You know, hey, you got to do better, man. Ha! You know, we tear each other down and we think it's encouragement. It's not. And we all do it because that's the mode that we're in. But guys, it is hurting relationships with other guys and it's breeding insecurity. I know you guys feel it because I felt it. But we stay in this cycle. Ladies, I know that you don't want to be gossiped about, but we all are gossiping about each other. Stop. Stop the destruction before it gets even worse. We say, oh man, I was only joking. No, I didn't really mean it. It was just a joke. I mean, come on. But that's just something we say. We build a wall. It's a front. And we believe that lie. Oh no, I was only joking. Guys, that's what I did my whole junior high and high school years. Is I put the jokes on other people. I made them look stupid so that no one would think I was stupid. I made everyone else the butt of the joke. I even made myself the butt of the joke. I would make fun of myself thinking, oh, if I do it, then they're not going to hurt me because whatever they say, it's not going to hurt me. It's a lie. Whatever gossip you're spreading, it's not a joke. It's real. And it hurts people. But guys, it's not just our tongue. Back then, really all they had were the words they said. But if we take that context and we bring it to today, hey, what is that true of us today? It's not just the things we say with our mouth, but it's the words that we use in general. And that's what he's talking about, the tongue. It's not just in conversation, but text messages. A lot of times you think, oh, it's a text. I can be more biting here. I can say whatever I want. Then they've got nothing on me. Man, what are your text messages saying? What is Instagram saying? Even through pictures and your little captions. Sometimes we do things and we're making fun of people and hurting people. And a bigger one that I don't know if you guys are in, I think some of you are, Ask FM. That is going crazy with gossip, going crazy with things. And here's the thing, guys. Ask FM, you may think it's interesting. You may think, ooh, I want to see what they're all saying. I want to even see what they say about me. But guys, it's destructive. There's no life there. I'll tell you that right now. And I know that you think you're being secretive because no one knows what you're saying. You think it's secretive because your parents aren't on there and you can say whatever you want. I say run as fast as you can from that. Here's what a 19-year-old girl said. She said, when talking about Ask FM, oh man, it's fun. When you want to ask a personal question and don't want to ask them to their face, this is Molly from Phoenix. She didn't want to reveal her last name. She wants to stay anonymous, just like on Ask FM. Here's what she says. On Ask FM, you can hide behind your keyboard. No one has to know. How is that life-giving? I mean, you may be the one involved in some of those things on other people. If you are, I ask you to stop. But just think about it. What would you do if those things were said about you? You'd hate it. Gossip tears people down. There's a girl who's 14 years old. She wrote a post for a news article or a news publication called the Huffington Post. I'm just going to read it. She's describing Ask FM. 14. So she's probably a freshman in high school, just after you guys. It's a place where you make public account. People can submit questions, comments, anonymously or not. When I first heard about this, I was interested. I didn't get an account, but I looked at a few. I was horrified. Your age. She was your age. I was horrified, she said. People were saying things that were so hurtful. Most of these hurtful comments were coming from anonymous users. The person that was taking all of these hateful comments didn't delete them. They answered back for everyone to see. I've seen people get asked, why are they fat or mean, who they hate, or to list their best friends in order. People have asked my friends, why are they such losers? Or to say what they thought of specific people, or even things like, why are you even alive? This is happening. The person receiving the comments had no idea who was posting them. It could have been one of their best friends or someone they barely knew. Since the questions were anonymous, people said meaner things than they ever would have. I thought since I didn't set up an account, it wouldn't have affected me. A few times I've had a friend ask me if I'd seen a post about me or someone else's page. I don't check Ask FM. So they'd tell me what the person said. I wouldn't say anything about it. But inside, I would wonder why they said what they said. A girl who I've never even been super close to got asked who she hated the most at our camp. She mentioned that the only person she hated was me. The post even got likes from other people who I thought I was friends with. A girl I'm close to told me, about it and said many people had seen it. I have a very close friend, and she had an account, which she later deleted. She told me about a friend who got upset over what people were saying, and she tried to even take her own life. I found it unbelievable that people were that heartless. This is the power that gossip has over people. It destroys. I mean, this girl is in your world. And she's just saying, man, I fortunately am not involved in that, but I hear of what is happening to other people. And guys, you're in a tough spot being in junior high. I know Ask.fm's popular. I know that those social media sites are popular. I know that people are involved in gossip. You've got an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to be one who destroys, or I'm going to be one who builds life. Because here's the thing. She even said it in here. She heard of a girl who almost took her life. There's a girl, 12 years old, named Rebecca Ann Sedwick from Florida. Middle school girl. Has her whole life ahead of her. But people were just trashing her on Instagram, on Ask.fm, on all these things. And she said, it's not worth it anymore. And she took her life. Do you want to be a part of that? That's what gossip does. I don't say that to shock you. I say that to say this stuff's real. And you think you're joking, and you think you're just making light of some stuff, but guys, it's hurtful. It hurts others, but then it's also going to hurt you. It's going to separate you from your Savior. So this is not just a message of, hey, don't. But I want you to see the effects of what happens. It's a wildfire. And years down the road, if you continue to engage in that, you're going to look back and you're just going to see charred relationships, blackened, dead. Our tongue has the power to destroy, or our tongue has the power to give life. It's so much easier to set a forest on fire and just burn it to the ground. It takes a lot more time to help a tree grow, to cultivate it, to give it life. But it's so much more life-giving, and it gives life to others. Thank goodness that when I was in that field, that when I said, hey guys, I need help here, I did a stupid decision and I burnt this thing, I need your help. Thank goodness that they didn't go, oh yeah, let me help you, and start fanning the flame and starting more fires and like, hey, yeah, let's keep spreading that. Thank goodness that I had friends in my life who came over and said, hey, stop. They're stomping it out. They're getting it out. They're helping me stomp it out so it doesn't spread. So what are you going to do? You got the power to destroy or give life. You're going to go to school this week. How do you put that into action? Are you going to use your words and use the things that you say to tear people down so that you can have attention or defer attention? Or are you going to be known as someone who says, hey, stop that. I'm not going to spread that around. I like that guy. Or hey, you know what? I don't even know that guy. I'm not going to make fun of him. That's what we're called to. You've got the power to bring life into other people. You can encourage them. You can give them compliments. Even something as, hey man, I like your shirt. Could turn somebody who everyone's like, oh, you're ugly. I hate your shirt. You're fat. One comment from you can change that guy's perspective forever. You can give them scripture. You can tell them the gospel. There's no greater way to change someone's life than to give the life that's been given you away to somebody else. And love them. Be someone that's known for stomping out the flame, that resolves conflict, that just says, hey, I'm not going to spread that around. I'm not going to keep talking about that. Let me tell you where life is found. Let's pray.